Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here this morning to hear your word read and proclaimed. Open up our hearts and mind to your Spirit. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us today and how you would like us to go out and live this in our lives. Amen. One of my favorite musicals of all time is called The Cotton Patch Gospel. And it's based on a book by Clarence Jordan. Now, Clarence Jordan was a Greek scholar who lived in the Deep South. And he wanted to translate the Bible as if Jesus was born in Gainesville, Georgia, in the 20th century. And he went about translating the Gospels and some of the letters, and it's very peculiar that it surprises you, that it's a little different, that Jesus was born in Gainesville instead of Bethlehem, that Jesus was lynched instead of being hung on a cross. And people liked it, apparently, liked these books. And some people took his book about the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John and turned it into a musical called The Cotton Patch Gospel. And Harry Chapin wrote the music for it. He's the fellow who wrote Cat in the Cradle, a very good folk singer. And there's a scene in this musical where Jesus starts talking about how he is going to be crucified or lynched, that he's going to die. And the disciples get a little upset. They're like, why do you keep saying you're going to die? We've been thinking about it. And then they launch into this beautiful musical number, and I really can't sing, so I'm not going to try, but nor would you want me to. But they start talking about, we need to use the power systems of this world to get your message across. That we need to get organized, that we need to get tough, that we need to use the media, that we need to use the streets, that we need to do all the things you want to do in this world to take control. And getting lynched is not one of those things, so they really wanted Jesus to stop talking about his death and talking about how he was going to take over using the power systems of this world, using the media, using unions, using the news, all sorts of things. And Jesus doesn't like that. And in the Cotton Patch Gospel, Jesus in particular to Peter says, get behind me, Satan. If you aren't willing to accept my lynching, and you aren't willing to be lynched yourself, then you have no right to follow me. And I was thinking about this story because it's unexpected. The disciples thought that they were starting this new kingdom, and they really thought that if you were going to start a kingdom, if you were going to start this new way of being, that you needed to go through the traditional means of doing it, that you needed to go through the news, that you needed to go through politics, that you needed to get the unions organized. And Jesus tells them, no, that's not how we're doing it. It's going to be different than that. And Jesus doesn't meet the disciples' expectations. And when we look at today's gospel lesson, it's really strange. John the Baptist has been proclaiming in the wilderness that someone is to come, that the one who's been prophesied about, the Messiah, is going to come, and that things are going to change, that he's going to have an axe, he's going to have the winnowing fork, that they're going to get the just is going to get what they deserve, and the unjust are going to get what they deserve, and there's going to be a coming wrath, and things are going to get really bad for those who are unjust, and the righteous are going to be happy. And then that's what happens in Matthew chapter 3. You get to Matthew chapter 11, and Jesus and his disciples have been doing ministry. They've been going out and healing the sick, and healing the lame, and the deaf, and the blind, and raising the dead, and proclaiming good news to the poor. And the corrupt and the wicked are still in power, that there is no axe, that this baptism of the Spirit in fire is not changing things the way John would expect things to be changed, and that John is in prison. And he'd been proclaiming that the Messiah was coming, and he'd been proclaiming that justice was going to be had, and here he was in prison, and here's this Messiah that he baptized, and he really thought was going to do all the things he expected, and they weren't happening. And that he sends his followers and says, are you really the one that's to come? I mean, he's in prison, probably going to get executed, does get executed later. And it's like, was with this. I was proclaiming an axe. I was proclaiming a window of fork. I was proclaiming something was going to happen. And I'm here in jail. And Jesus says, tell him what we're doing. Look at all that we're doing. Tell John. And let John decide whether he was the Messiah or not. But it doesn't seem like Jesus met John's expectations. That what Jesus thought the Messiah was going to mean, what John thought Jesus was going to be, who Jesus was going to be, what Jesus was going to do, did not materialize the way John thought it should happen. And I think it's important to think about this, that John had this vision. And he said, you brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the coming wrath? The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with the water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than me, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnow and fork is at hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It's such this strong image of destruction and justice. And then Jesus comes, and he's healing people. He's raising the dead. He's proclaiming good news to the poor. And it's this different picture than what John was proclaiming. And John probably had to be thinking, where is this window and fork? Where is this axe? Where is this fire? Who is going to rescue me from jail? Who is going to change this world? And his expectations just weren't met. And I think we, as Christians, especially when we do our daily devotionals, when we read the Bible, when we listen to sermons, and we try to understand the gospel and the scriptures, that we need to be open to surprise. We need to be open to the unexpected. That it's easy for us to think we understand the way the church should be. It's easy for us to think we understand the way the Bible is. That we've all grown, most of us have grown up in the church our whole lives. We have heard sermon after sermon. We have heard pastor after pastor telling us how to work around these really difficult passages of Scripture so that we don't feel uncomfortable. That when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, we don't really get hit with how unexpected this is. That if we believe in this kingdom of heaven, and that we believe that Jesus is proclaiming this and inviting people into it, and if we believe that this kingdom of heaven is different than the kingdoms here on earth, how different it is than what we expect. That instead of coming with force, instead of coming with power, instead of coming and saying, this is the way it has to be, you either follow me or you're going to be on the threshing floor and sent to the unquenchable fire, Jesus came with love. Jesus came with difference. That turn the other cheek, give your cloak away, go the extra mile. And it's different often than the way the world wants you to live, the way the world expects you to live. And that we read the gospel, and I don't think we always really get how unexpected it is. And then even if we do get how unexpected it is, like good news to the poor, we don't know what to do with that. We don't know how to digest that. We don't know how to live that out. And that we kind of just keep doing what we always do. That we try to live in this world and be of this world, and we don't really grasp how different Jesus is. And that I think when we really read the scriptures and we do our devotions, if we really look at what Jesus is saying, he doesn't meet our expectations. That he asks us to be different. He wants us to be different. He wants us to surprise the world. And we don't surprise the world. We don't defy these expectations. That the world doesn't see the church as that different. The church is not surprising the world. And when we read, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, the poor of spirit, do we strive to be peacemakers in everything that we do? Do we want to be meek? And who of us wants to be poor of spirit? And when it says poor of spirit, it's an economic poorness. It's not however we want to conceive it otherwise. That there's definitely money in being poor. And when we see turn the other cheek, how often do we really turn the other cheek? How often do we say, that's okay. Here, let me give you something else. Let me let you do more injustice to me. How often do we do that? Or do we just not say anything and fume over it and let it stew in us? And it's hard. It's very hard. And when Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace to the world, but a sword, how often do we try to live out that message? this radical message of being a peacemaker, but a peacemaker who brings division, a peacemaker who does cause people to be uncomfortable, a peacemaker who does change the world. And that we are called to this radical peace, but it's a peace that brings division, that people feel uncomfortable about it. It's subversive. It tries to change the world, and the world doesn't like to be changed. And more importantly, as we're just not only are we to be expecting this unexpected Jesus, but that we are the body of Christ. And if we are the body of Christ, and Christ was a person who did not meet the world's expectations, didn't even meet the person who announced his birth and his ministry's expectations, how are we as the body of Christ defying the expectations of the world? When we do the Great Thanksgiving and in our communion prayer, we say we may be the body and blood of Christ for the world. But are we a body and blood of Christ for the world that is defying the world's expectations? Are we surprising the world? Are we making them think about things differently? And a few weeks ago, several of the pastors in the Mechanicsburg cluster met with our one-on-ones for the district superintendent. And we had a breakfast, and we watched a video on the history of the church. And we were trying to talk about the church and what we need to do as a church and how many of us feel that the church is not having an impact the way it should. And one of the pastors said, the solution to this problem is what we need to offer Christ. But I was thinking about that if we are to be the body and blood of Christ and we are to offer Christ, how do we do that? And are we ready to do that? That when John the Baptist asks Jesus, are you the one? Jesus says, this is what I'm doing. I'm healing the sick, the lame, the deaf. I'm raising the dead. And I'm proclaiming good news to the poor. And are we as the body of Christ doing that? Are we really offering Christ? Are we really living so differently and offering things so different than the world that the world is being offered Christ? That the world sees something different, something new, something exciting, and wants to get involved? Or are we not doing that and just doing what we always do and letting the world just pass us by and be not surprised by what we do, not seeing the unexpected Jesus, and not having their expectations denied? And it's a hard thing for us to wrestle with, that we as a church, how do we go into the future defying expectations? And it permeates everything that we do. Permeates how we are as Christians, that when we have arguments and disagreements, we have to, if we're going to offer Christ, live out a radical love, that in the midst of disagreement, that we still love each other, and that we still act as one as a church, and that if we want to be different, then we need to really start going out in the world and acting differently, trying to make a difference, trying to show the kingdom of God is here on earth. And not through fire and brimstone, not through the winnow and fork, not through the axe is at hand, and if you don't repent, you're going to burn. But showing that we have a sovereign God who could make us all serve that sovereign God, could make us all bow to Jesus involuntarily, but instead defies our expectations and doesn't use that power. Instead, wants us to come because we're loved, wants us to accept the invitation of grace. And that we need to show the world this love and this grace, and that we don't try to win people through fear and coercion, but we try to win people over for Christ, try to offer them Christ through love, through showing the grace, both in our words and in our deeds, and in everything that we do as individuals and everything we do as a church. And that we follow a God and Jesus who defies expectations, that we don't have to come to them. We're not forced to, but it's out of love. And that while God is all-powerful, God chooses not to use God's power for these things. God wants us to act in love and in grace. So as we go through this week, this Christmas period, and this whole liturgical year, I invite us to have Jesus defy our expectations. As we go through the discernment processes of where we're going in the future, we need to be open to surprise. We need to be open to change. that if John the Baptist can be surprised by Jesus, that we too can be surprised by Jesus. And that as we go into the future, we need to think about how can we live out being the body and blood of Christ, a Christ who defies expectations. Amen.